Is there internet down here?
Yeah. This is Free the Land for August 6, 2013. We have a member of Sin Baris in the studio. That's Without Bars.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be talking about the what they're about and the hunger strike in the jails.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about Sin Baris. How did it start?
Sin Baris started out as a reading group a little over a year ago with those who have been impacted by the prison system. Some of us were formerly incarcerated, and so it was a reading group for a while. Then we went to a rally at Chowchilla State Prison, which is a women's prison that's really overcrowded. Mm-hmm. I think at about 178%. So we got really invigorated by the work of several organizations, one of them being California Coalition of Women's Prisoners, and they're the ones who put on this rally at Chowchilla. And we said, whoa, we need to do something about this. We do know that there's a Santa Cruz County jail. We need to know what's going on inside. We need to know how our county is being affected by realignment with the overcrowding of the state prisons, and mm-hmm. just also educate ourselves with who's being incarcerated in Santa Cruz and for what reasons, and is it working? Obviously, it isn't.
No, it doesn't. It's for punishment. It's not for rehabilitation.
Yeah, there's no such thing as.
But so the federal government or the courts have said that you're overcrowded in California, so Jerry Brown's solution is to move everybody into the county jails instead of the state jails, push the problem onto somebody else, just like we push our homeless problem onto other cities if we can.
Exactly.
Pass the buck.
Exactly. So rather than putting resources and money towards education or drug treatment centers or mental health facilities, food security programs, shelter, all these programs that can reduce harm and crime in communities,
mm-hmm.
Jerry Brown has said, oh, well, I'm just going to create this giant pot of money for counties to apply for so that we can grow our prison system. And he's going to build new shiny jails to cage people in rather than think about the ways in which we can create a safer and more accountable state.
Mm. It costs, what, like $60,000 a year to jail someone?
Yeah, it does. And it costs millions and millions and millions of dollars to build and expand new prisons and jails.
Mm-hmm.
And so we see that happening in Monterey. They're going to mm-hmm. build a new jail. They're building a new jail in San Mateo County in Redwood City on mm-hmm. top of a toxic waste site. The Hall of Justice is what they call it in San Francisco, their jail,
mm-hmm.
Or the Hall of Injustice is what I like to think about it as. They're, you know, building 800 more beds, and you know that when you have beds, when
it
you
gets
build
filled.
More beds,
yeah.
they're going to fill them.
Just like when you widen the highways, you just get filled. You never get rid of traffic that way.
Exactly.
But yeah. it's more money for, you know, contractors who may have donated to Jerry Brown's campaign.
Yeah, exactly. And it has a lot to do, like, studying prisons and studying the way in which they work is you realize that it needs to grow in order to sustain itself,
mm-hmm.
right? So it in order for it to survive, it can only incarcerate more people, and it can only put more communities in danger.
But that's how bureaucracies work. They always want more people underneath them so they can justify a higher salary, so they're always looking to expand.
Yeah.
And they, I forgot what I was going to say, but go ahead.
Oh, so the work that we do as Sin Baris is we try to make these connections locally and with the state, and we work and communicate and talk to with a lot of community groups that already exist, like Barrios Unidos or HUF,
mm-hmm.
Homeless United for Friends and Freedom, and we found out that so a bunch of people died, like 5 people died since last August.
Mm-hmm. They've switched over to, they've outsourced their medical care.
Yeah, they've outsourced. So Santa Cruz County, the Board of Supervisors voted last June to save a bunch of money and outsource the medical facility to this group called California Forensics Medical Group. It's a private medical group that is actually contracted to, I think, at least 16 counties in the state, mm-hmm. and they have a long, non-exhaustive grocery list of lawsuits and medical neglect where people have died. People have also been abused by their medical mm-hmm. workers.
This county has to cover it because they're state actors, even though they're private because they're performing a function for the state. So
exactly,
there's millions of dollars there to be sued if the lawyers would get on it. You know,
mm-hmm. So we found out that under California Forensics Medical Group, 5 people have died due to medical neglect, and a lot of them died or passed away inside what they call this detoxification program, mm-hmm. Which was also a big reason, I think, this Board of Supervisors chose to go with California Forensics Medical Group, because they, for some reason, had an enticing detoxification program. And we've been trying to look
into... It opens up more room at the jails.
Exactly. We've been trying to look into, like, what this private detox program looks like inside the jail. And so far, all we've found out is that they just put you in a cell so that you can detox, and they may check on you more often. And we also know that, you know, support and care and detoxing and rehabilitation is pretty impossible. It's impossible for that to happen inside of a jail. There's no such thing as care in there.
So what do they used to do? Were they used to send them to a hospital or something while they detox?
I'm unsure. I know that there are several programs inside Santa Cruz County Jail, but I don't know what the medical program for that looked like, but in several reports that we found, we learned that the Board of Supervisors voted to get CFMG, this medical group, inside and to contract them because, A, it would save money, mm-hmm. and, B, they had this program, but... You know, people have obviously passed away. Mm-hmm.
Well, everybody else is doing it, so then it's safe. You know, it's like exactly. going with Microsoft, or everyone else is doing it. So how do you find out what's going on at the jails?
Well, we form a lot of connections with those who have been inside. We have people who have family members who are inside.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, we speak to people who have just gotten out, and that's how we found out that there were 37 people as of 2 weeks ago who have joined the statewide hunger strike in regard to their prisoners that are in solitary confinement,
mm-hmm.
Which is state-sanctioned torture, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're pushing for these 5 demands to be met.
What are the demands?
The demands are to end long-term solitary confinement.
This is like multi-years, like a decade or more, right?
Yeah, a lot of people have been placed in there for arbitrary reasons, like mm-hmm. reading the newspaper or having, you know, too many stamps. Or
and this costs more, right? Because instead of 2 or 3 people to a cell, they have 1 person. So now we need to expand our jails because everyone's in solitary confinement, right? They're just wasting taxpayer money.
Yeah, it's wasting money, and it's also killing people yeah. as well. People are in these cells for 23 hours a day, right? They mm-hmm. get no sunlight. When they do get to go outside for maybe an hour, they're in this caged pen. And most of the time they're let out, the sun has already been out of reach over their mm-hmm. skylight cell. So a lot of people are suffering from, you know, lack of vitamin D. People's skins mm-hmm. are peeling off. They also get less food. They have no access to programs. They have less allowance to the commissary, and they get less visits from their family. Mm-hmm. So these people have virtually been put in there. It has nothing to do with their sentence. There are no rules of evidence that are needed.
Completely arbitrary. Completely at the discretion arbitrary. Of the... Just, they just don't like them. Yeah, wrong race or something, boom, you go in.
If you're reading Malcolm Up,
yeah.
Malcolm X, you can yeah. go in. If you
See,
have
that's
a
what
tattoo,
it's political. It's
yeah,
political prisoners that end up there.
It's completely
yeah.
political. And so this is their third time on hunger strike. They were on hunger strike in 2011 mm-hmm. for weeks. And the CDCR, the California Department of Corrections and quote-unquote rehabilitation, said, all right, you know, we're going to talk to you guys. Please stop hunger striking. They what started a negotiation. It didn't work. They began a hunger strike again. CDCR said, all right, give us time. We're going to do something. It's been 2 years. Nothing has been done.
No, they won't do anything.
And now they're like, now there have been 30,000 initially started on July 8th. have been on hunger strike. And now we know that 37 prisoners in Santa Cruz County Jail have joined the statewide hunger strike to, you know, protest the horrendous conditions that they're forced to live in.
Yeah, no one really cares. I mean, if there was a celebrity in jail on a hunger strike, then anyone would care. But, you know, these are people no one knows, so that they don't really care. What are the other demands, the other four?
Yeah, so the first one is end long-term solitary confinement. The second is to abolish the debriefing policy, which is the more fancy word of, you know, of gang validation. They want to modify the gang status criteria.
Because that could be anybody. Like, yeah, political prisoners
exactly.
fall into that.
So, no. Like I said before, you can be sent in there for a Christmas card, for something that could be interpreted as political in a letter that someone wrote to you because they review all of your letters.
Yeah, it's just, nothing's safe, would you?
Yeah. The third demand is to end group punishment and administrative abuse. So, you know, if someone is sent to solitary or someone did something bad, they have the ability to associate you to this group based on race, based on sex, identity, or gender, and punish you for it, even if you had nothing to do with it.
So it's not a group being punished for the acts of one person. This is you're being punished because you might belong to some group.
Exactly. It's very highly assumptuous. The fourth is provide adequate and nutritious food. And the fifth is to expand and provide constructive programming, which does not exist at all. So yeah, we're on the fourth week. We've already lost one prisoner
Cochran
to this hunger strike, Billy Sell, who was neglected from medical care for 4 days. A lot of people have lost 30 pounds or more. A lot of people are suffering. There have been reports that the CDCR administration have turned on the air conditioning on blast.
Yeah, more torture.
And at the same time, things are happening legislatively, right? So the U.S. Supreme Court, a group of federal judges, have said enough is enough. Jerry Brown in the state has to reduce the prison population to 137%, which is still overcrowded. But
not quite an Eighth Amendment violation.
Yeah.
You get over 137, that becomes cruel and unusual.
But their reason, the Supreme Court wants Jerry Brown to reduce the prison population to be able to provide somewhat adequate medical care because it's subpar.
Well, it has to be adequate. I mean, once you're under custody, they're required now to meet your needs, you know, because you can't do it yourself. And so, yeah, it'd be an Eighth Amendment violation or possibly a 14th. Your group, you kind of got to this earlier, because now there's a big strike. I first saw you at a Huff meeting back in March. There's a lot of other groups behind organizing this that you interact with, you were saying?
There's a lot of groups that in Santa Cruz that work on programming, that work on education, that work on alternative.
Well, I was thinking like statewide.
Programs. Oh, statewide.
Yeah, because the strike is statewide.
Yeah, the strike is statewide. So, Sin Baras, we're a part of this larger coalition called CURB, Californians United for a Responsible Budget. And it's a hub of dozens upon dozens of organizations that work on abolition, programming, rehabilitative needs. A group that I mentioned earlier, California Coalition for Women's Prisoners.
Mostly prison-type issues, because the name doesn't sound completely prison.
And also, like, alternatives to, you know, where the coalition is called Californians United for a Responsible Budget. So
sounds like a tax group from the acronym.
It focuses on, you know, where should taxpayer money really go, and I think it has a lot to do with the philosophies of care and support and what education, because now...
And patronage, too. I mean, people in power tend to give money to their friends, just like we see it here locally.
Exactly. So it's holding the state accountable, and that's how we're in the loop and with a lot of things that are happening in the greater state.
So you share ideas with each other on... Now, you know, I've noticed all they really care about is the fucking money. Is there, like, any kind of boycotts planned or anything like that? Because the minute it starts affecting the tax base, then Jerry Brown will set up a notice. I mean, calling him up now is one of the tactics you're using, but I'm guessing he's not answering.
No, he's not answering. During the last hunger strike, he completely just dismissed the fact that the hunger strike was happening, and he hasn't really brought it up at all.
Mm-hmm. Well, he'd like to, just ignore it. Yeah, plus, there's going to be a lot of support for just letting him die among the community, because we've had this, anti-crime stuff thrown in our face forever.
Yeah, so a tactic that we use is to really humanize those who are inside, right? So we ask folks to try to imagine themselves being inside their bathroom for 20 years for some arbitrary reason, and also to think about how people are systemically pushed into a really violent apparatus that does not make it any better or any safer.
They come out mad, right?
The community when they get out, right?
One of these rooms, it's not, a bathroom's kind of large. I heard they were like really small.
Yeah.
Almost like a coffin or something.
8 by 10 windowless cells.
What do they call them? Shoes or something?
Yeah, shoes. They're called secure housing units, which is also called solitary confinement. But yeah, the administration calls them shoe units.
Originally solitary confinement was created by the Quakers for a place to meditate, not actually as a punishment, but since people need social interaction, it is turned into a punishment.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what other, it's all about the atrocities too. That's what we saw in the Egyptian Revolution and with the cops and Occupy and stuff. When you get film of some kind of atrocity, then people get upset, because the trouble with the jails is nobody really knows what's going on there. You can't go in there with a camera.
Yeah, and that's the thing about prison. It's just, it's very incredibly hard to imagine what it's like in there, because people who come out are incredibly traumatized, and talking to them about it afterwards is kind of like re-traumatizing the experience for them. And
they'd rather forget about it. Yeah.
We also try to do is write. We're writing letters to people. We're in communication with people who are inside and who
that's good.
Organizing.
That makes a big difference to them, I think. Yeah.
Exactly. To know that.
Kind of like sponsor a prisoner, like with those little kids overseas,
Exactly. Except, we know that this movement has to be led by them because they are
the experts. On point, Yeah.
So by just writing a letter to people who are inside, there are multiple hubs, like internet hubs and websites where you can find people to write to, pen pals.
If Sean Barris writes to them, then they're part of a gang, right? We go right into solitary for that.
Yeah. I mean, we write to prisoners about politics, and it doesn't seem to harm them at all.
Okay.
I don't think that the CDCR has time to actually read through every single letter.
That's another thing. The more letters they get, the more time the cops have to sit around reading them. Write real long ones, too.
Exactly. And the more letters and the more care.
In bad handwriting, so they really have to struggle.
Yeah. And I think if we consistently go and visit our loved ones inside, we consistently show this incredibly broken and violent system that there is support and there also is resistance, it will tether apart, and the programs that we've been wishing and we've been pushing for will happen.
They don't like when a lot of people are, like, for a trial, the most important part of a trial to go to is the sentencing, because if the judge sees a whole bunch of people there, he's much less likely to give a harsh sentence.
Exactly.
Because they're elected officials.
Yeah, I don't think there is any one way to smash a prison, but there's ways in which we can break it. And I think that's why we have to be very fierce as we resist it, but also be very gentle and mindful with those who are inside.
So what other tactics do you use?
So we write letters. We meet every Thursday to talk about issues that are happening on the ground, street reports. Sean Barris is a very fluid group, and we are going to be working on this as long as it happens, but we like to gather knowledge about those who, are houseless, or who are on the line of being pushed into the system. So we're constantly trying, we're trying to gather testimonials. We're working on our second zine. We like to experiment with film. That's something we'd like to do.
That's the videos. Video's incredibly powerful, but you can't get in there to film is the problem.
Exactly.
If you could, then it would change, definitely.
So we want to try to meet with people who have been inside and are outside now to talk about their experience and to talk about what they need so that we can meet that.
My brother got 2 years for sleeping.
Yeah,
but he had to leave the country because it's suspended. If he gets busted again, he does 80% of it, he said, rather than the 50. Because with the jails overcrowding, a lot of sentences are being compressed. We only do half time now instead of three quarters.
Mm-hmm.
But he said because he violated, it would be full 80%. It was just a trick by the judge. So he's staying away until end of next March, I guess.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, we do a lot of public education, trying to flyer or create publications that are comprehensive and understandable, that humanize those who are inside, that justify why the prison system is growing so fast and why it's purposely making people
disappear. I mean, a lot of it is ridiculous crimes like sleeping, and that's a human need. How is that a crime? You know, and what's the percentage of people in on drugs? You know, that's not a victimless crime.
Mm-hmm.
It's like over 50, right?
Yeah, and a lot of people are in prison and in county jails because they can't afford bail. So it's a huge problem of poverty that is not being solved at all. It's actually creating a much more larger impoverished community because you're just literally, you're like literally in there because you can't pay for bail and all these fines rack up and rack up and rack up and you'll never be able to pay for it because you're locked up inside. And that's just, we haven't even mentioned the way in which being inside kills you as a human. So
it's going to that.
It's kind of like at the crux and at the intersection of a lot of violence. And it also allows for the police force to grow, and it forces our communities to be reliant on the police force and on law enforcement and on surveillance. So solutions we also think about, you know, I think that you don't have to be in Sin Baras to be an abolitionist. We try to have these discussions of how do we create an accountable community? How do we get to know our neighbors so that if something does come up that may be harmful, we can learn how to mediate, or we'll call upon our neighbors and our community to fix this problem.
Without calling the cops.
Right. Learning how to cop watch, right? Learning.
I wish someone was doing that, you know?
Yeah. I mean, there's so many things. And
they're scared of it. The cops are scared. I've seen them hassle people with cameras just because they have cameras.
Yeah, exactly.
It needs to be a real program with at least two people at all times.
Standing around.
Well, just wearing it. Yeah, just having the camera chills the cops from violating people.
Forming a crowd around the incident. It holds them
accountable,
and it holds them from not like further criminalizing people for things that are just so dumb and arbitrary.
Did you see the one Brent's where the cop dropped the guy in his face?
Yeah, exactly. There's so much, and it's very racist, and now you see the way in which the prison system has grown so much. It's interconnected with immigration now, where those who are questioned for their documentation can be held in a cell for an indefinite amount of time.
Yeah, that's that Homeland Security crap, you know. All the elements of a totalitarian state are in place, and it's just, and it requires large prisons and stuff in order to put people in them, because when the economy takes a dump again here in a few years, because they just borrowed money, they didn't fix any of the real problems, they're going to be putting a lot of people away. It's going to be not just criminals, but regular folks like you and I.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. And as we see the prison system growing, we see the women's population grow faster than ever. And so what I mentioned earlier about what's happening in Chowchilla is the most overcrowded prisons in California are women's prisons.
It's because there's few of them.
There are very few of them, and like I said, it's the fastest growing population due to poverty and due to neglect. And so there are so many examples of the way in which they neglect women, so ways in which we take strip searches and cavity searches for granted. You know, mm-hmm. That is sexual abuse. Mm-hmm. Women at CCWF have been sterilized. Dozens of women have been sterilized, pressured into getting sterilized.
They have to sign it or something, but they get pressured?
Mm-hmm. Because it costs the state more money for you to have your baby than it is to get a tubal ligation, right? And so people are...
So you've been talking about abortion? They're forcing abortions on them?
Abortions and sterilization once you've had your child. A doctor has gone in and illegally, without consent, sterilized women. And this is also based on race, and it's also very gendered.
Now, if they're forcing abortions, that you can pull a lot of Christians in on this as well.
I think it affects... This is something that is so everyday and affects mm-hmm. everyone. And that's why I think listening to people's stories of how they are forced into this system allows us to understand how not just neglectful it is, but how it seeks out crime.
Mm-hmm.
How
creates
actively,
crime where there is none.
Yeah, it's actively...
Because they make money off it. It's all about... It always comes down to the money with these folks.
It does.
So you take the money away from them. That's what they pay attention to.
Mm-hmm. And it directly affects our education system, too.
Oh, well, the Republicans don't want smart people, so they cut that back years ago. People are not as bright as they used to be. Well, they're still as bright, but they just don't know the facts anymore. And then the internet is so full of... Theoretically, you can find out anything on the internet, but there's so much garbage out there, you can't tell what's true and what's not.
Yeah. I mean, as a college student, I have definitely experienced massive cuts and lack of resources in the last 4 years.
Student loans just doubled too. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm paying more for less.
Yep.
And it's also very much tied to, you know, when prison funding goes up, education money goes down, and mm-hmm. so that's another way in which we communicate how it affects everyone.
And that impoverishes the whole community, too, because the less educated people there are, the less money they're going to make, the less taxes are going to be available in the future, and it's just mm-hmm. an ever downward spiral, and that means your only way to make money then is crime.
Yeah. Students of color, even in public schools K-12, like, they're at risk of getting locked in cages. We have metal detectors at schools now. We have a police force
at schools. Cages in school?
Pardon me?
Did you say locked in cages? You mean at school?
I said more
or
people every
risk?
Day are at risk.
Oh,
of
for imprisoned. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, metal detectors. Well, that's all those shootings and everything. So there's all the paranoia about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think it's really helpful to focus on, yes, the atrocities, but it's also important to make these connections of how they affect everyone mm-hmm. in the community and how. It's very important for everyone to put pressure on Jerry Brown, to put pressure on their local county sheriff department and their jail.
Do you know who his campaign donors are? You put the pressure a little on his money supply. It's a logistical attack. That's what Occupy, as soon as they started talking about shutting down all the ports, that's when they shut down Occupy, because that scares the 1% and the wealthy, because all they care about is the money. They
exactly.
don't care about kindness to people or human dignity or anything like that. It's just as long as they get their money, threaten their money, then they start panicking and they start granting reforms.
Mm-hmm. A really big campaign donor up in Sacramento is the jail guards union, the prison guards union. They have got their hands in so many pockets, and so a huge reason, their big push for the reasons in which we have to build a new jail in this community is because, well, it's going to provide jobs
for us. Yeah,
right.
Maybe we should have term limits on jailers.
And even imagine how traumatizing it is to be working at a prison. Every day, instilling fear in these people.
But then everyone's like with cops, you know, they might start out fine, but everybody becomes a perp then, you know, and that's just how you react to everyone.
Exactly.
So we see it as activists. They treat us like we're hardened criminals or something.
Yeah. I mean, the people are scared of prison guards, and prison mm-hmm. guards are scared of people. And mm-hmm. so we now have a community where everyone, it's not a community, it's a place where people live daily in fear and in isolation mm-hmm. because of this dog-eat-dog mentality. So I think at the same time, it's also very important to reach out to someone who you know who works on, if you have a friend or family member who, you know, works for law enforcement in any way, that's talk to them
exactly
about it.
Or through the
they,
family.
They also need to.
They have to go
healed,
home for Christmas.
Right?
You know, they have to you know be responsible to their family of what they're doing. I mean, if their family doesn't know that they're brutalizing people, they never get. But as soon as that comes out, it's like, you know, does your mom know what you do for a living? You know, that kind of thing.
Exactly, and they don't see it as brutalizing people. They see it as
doing
creating
their job.
A safe
yeah.
community. Mm-hmm. It's a very honorable thing.
Proactive.
But there's also a reason in which why people who do these, who have these jobs don't really talk about what they do.
Yeah.
It's because
they're embarrassed about it.
It's painful.
Yeah.
And you don't want to relive that again, especially yeah. if you're working, you know, from 9 to 5. So, but it's also very important to bring that up. And I think to also care for these people as well. And I think as long this is to a certain extent an us versus them fight,
mm-hmm.
but the point of all of this is that we're all human beings and we all need to care for one another.
Mm-hmm. Hello? All right, I got a guest. I got to go. Bye. Yeah. Okay. All righty, bye. My co-host, my former uh-huh. co-host. So we're talking about the us and them. I mean, they're. I like to focus on the atrocities because it's all when you get into court, it's always hero and villain. You know, mm-hmm. the cops are the heroes and you're the villain. You have to turn it around and make them the villain because I've heard like they've had gladiator fights and like Pelican Bay, they boiled someone alive and stuff. It's just horrible what's going on in there. What's the gladiator? I heard just sort of mention of what? Where did that happen?
So. Actually, I learned about this pretty recently at our, we had a statewide action where Santa Cruz, Scene Bars just kind of created the space for it to happen at the clock tower, but last Wednesday we had an international day of action called Hunger for Justice,
mm-hmm.
where we fasted and we also took the streets and educated the community about, you know, we fasted knowing that the criminalization that killed a court case, Trayvon Martin, mm-hmm. and the criminalization that justifies the torture of prisoners in solitary confinement are one and the same.
Mm-hmm.
And during this, we met this guy approached us. His name was Miguel, and he came out and he said, "Thank you so much for having this event. I had no idea that people are actually trying to educate the community of what happens behind closed doors mm-hmm. in prisons." You know, he said that he was incarcerated for 10 years and he was placed in solitary confinement at Pelican Bay for over 3 years. And he was in there during these gladiator fights. And what would happen is, so in order, if you're in solitary confinement, in order, there's a rule. You can't leave your cell until your door, which is it's a metal fence that slides,
mm-hmm.
until your door is completely open. And the way in which your door opens is that a prison guards have to press the button and hold mm-hmm. it.
Electric or something.
The whole entire time.
So they would just do it partway or something?
Yeah, so what they would do, they would strategically place prisoners who were assumed gang members, and if they knew that they were gang members from, you know, opposing gangs, conflicting mm-hmm. gangs, they would place them right across the hall from one another.
I see.
And they would crack these doors open just enough so that you could sliver out and have a fight.
Mm-hmm.
And they would place money, the guards would place money upon either or to see who would come out first, who would break the violation, who would kill who, right? So they're treating humans like roosters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're gambling for their lives. And this is the state. And as this was happening, none of this information was getting to Sacramento. So you have, you know, the chief of the CDCR not knowing about this because
mm-hmm.
it's all happening within...
It's a low-level... A few bad apples in the prison system. That's because there's no oversight. I mean, if we could get cameras in there, I mean, it would be, you could do a channel on TV.
Anything,
you know, it would be popular to watch because people like those prison shows. There's all kinds of
anything goes in there, and all that we know that is actually happening are through letters from those who are inside, and we have to.
So you could really press for that. That would end it. I mean, the minute the public could see what was going on, it would greatly diminish it, just like with Cop Watch. And that's what they're most afraid of, is the public finding out what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, you can always say, well, what have you got to hide then, you know?
Yeah, and you have there are multiple newspapers and also groups that publish the work and the writings of prisoners who are inside solitary confinement. A really awesome group is called the Prisoner Hunger Strike Solidarity, and their website is prisonerhungerstrikesolidarity.wordpress.com, and you can read so many letters about the conditions that are going on, what is every day for those who are inside, and they're all written, and you can write to them too, and they're all written by people who are currently in there, and people.
Again, it's a video, though. People don't believe anything unless it's a video.
Yeah,
and
then
they get really riled up. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, you just can't. It's probably illegal to film in there, I imagine.
Yeah. I think there is some footage of certain very famous political prisoners. I know Mumia.
He does a show or something, right?
Mumia had a video. Yeah. But what I'd like to try to do is, you know, create some sort of hub on our Sin Baras website where you can see where there may be an archive of old videos that people who were incarcerated or who have been incarcerated talk about their experience and talk about what they realize once they're in there.
Where's your website at?
It's Sin Baras, sinbarras.wordpress.com.
Okay, and you can also Google.
Yeah, you can Google Sin Baras Santa Cruz, and that'll be the first thing that shows up. We also, you know, stay very updated on the news. We'll post stuff up that's happening. We'll also.
Y'all have regular meeting Thursdays.
Yeah, we meet every Thursday from 6 to 7:30 p.m. at the Circle Church.
Okay, that's right, up in the right circles over, on the west side.
Yeah, on the west side, over off of Woodrow.
What's the address exactly for those who have Google?
I am not sure. Yeah, I would. Oh, it's.
It's probably on your website, right?
Yeah, it's on our website. It's, every Thursday, 6 p.m. in the fireside room at the Circle.
I hear it's going potluck now.
Yeah, we're going potluck. We want to try to get as many people to come, and you
less
don't have
formal.
To come regularly. We just have discussions, talk about where we're going from here. It's a very fluid group, and anyone who.
How do you make decisions?
Interested. We're completely non-hierarchical and consensus-based.
Okay.
So you can come with an agenda item, and we will talk about it.
Okay.
It's completely community grassroots, and we're completely self-funded. We're not a nonprofit, and we're not trying to be one at all. It's led by the community.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's good. Do you have any more actions coming up?
Not just yet. I mean, right now we just are trying to focus on the everyday to really put out as much stuff as we can, online, go to the farmer's market, talk to as many people as possible of what's going on, how people are dying, how people are hunger striking.
Yeah, because this can't go on too much. I mean, a lot of people are going to start dying here soon. It's been like 4 weeks almost now.
Yeah,
right?
It's been, yesterday was the beginning of 4 weeks. So what we're trying to do is to get as many people to call Jerry Brown, to call the wardens. We want to get more people to make more connections with those inside, to check out what's going on in their local county. A lot of sheriff departments are trying to expand their jails.
Mm-hmm. So it's more money for them.
So we're just educating all of the time, every day. And if you can like us on Facebook, if you can share one of our links, you know, people will see it, more and more people will see it, more and more people will realize this is a problem, and it will be so much easier to recognize the everyday violence and oppression that happens in prisons.
Yeah, it's the local one. they have a problem with the homeless here is because they can't put them in jail at $60,000 per day. So they give them tickets and they just throw them away. So mm-hmm. I guess they just cut up their tents and harass them.
Mm-hmm. Cutting, right? Like yeah. the needle exchange program.
Yeah, that's just stupid.
The homeless services center.
That's not the solution. I mean,
it's not.
I mean, that had nothing to do with the shooting up on Mission. You know, that none of that's going to stop a shooting up on Mission. You know, and that impacts. You could have been walking by and gotten hit with a stray bullet. You know, it's because the cops aren't really doing a very good job. You know, they're focused on the wrong items, and also there's like you said earlier, there's a stop the crime before it happens. Mm-hmm. When you start young in the juvenile halls, I saw they had someone gave us a talk. I forget the name of the group, but they were using. Developing compassion with troubled youth.
Restorative justice, yeah.
With pets. With animals from the shelter that were like hard to adopt because they had discipline problems, so they'd have the kids would train them, and it would mm-hmm. you know, and they could only use positive reinforcement, no negative, mm-hmm. and the kids would because they give you that unconditional love, the pets mm-hmm. that the kids maybe never got at home, mm-hmm. you know, and stuff like that, and it's because it starts young. I mean, you develop habits when mm-hmm. you're a child that can move into later life,
mm-hmm. and if you do have children, that will affect your child as well. So I think mm-hmm. it's very important. To practice this with our neighbors, practice this with, the cashier at the grocery store,
mm-hmm.
practice kindness, practice care, practice support, as we consciously, mm-hmm. are staying up to date about the atrocities. We have to, if we're going to smash a prison, if we're going to eliminate cops, there has to be a series of alternatives that we're actively working on right now.
I went to the police obsolescence group, and it just got small, like Occupy, smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. Because that's not an easy problem. I mean, just like crime by nations, war is actually murder by a nation. It's not hasn't gone away. It's mm-hmm. always been very hard to get rid of these things.
Yeah, this is something that I feel like should feel rejuvenated. Rejuvenating.
There's always going to be some people. What are you going to do with someone like Zimmerman? You know, there's always going to be some people that you have to. You know, I'm not a complete abolitionist, mm-hmm. but like you said, they're expanding it to make everything a crime, and then only enforcing it against the people of color, minorities, or the poor people they don't like,
Exactly.
That's not controlling crime. That's just flat out oppression.
Yeah, and you realize that the bigger, the more prisons you create,
the just
more
like
crimes
the roads,
you have.
You'll come up with more crimes to fill them because it's a profit center. They should be charged for every criminal, and then all of a sudden people will be coming out of jail, instead of going in, and so they make money for every criminal. You got to turn it around.
Yeah,
like with tobacco, they made them the more tobacco they sold, they'd have to put more ads against anti-tobacco on TV. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like a self-defeating loop.
Exactly.
If you can create something like that then you don't even have to protest; it automatically does it.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, the loop is going the other way. It's
exactly.
Because they make money off it, it's getting bigger and bigger, and more things are a crime.
And the state is only going to reinvest into the community if we are willing to reinvest into the community, right? So mm-hmm. we have to, make it a practice and make it a lifestyle and not tire ourselves and not let it kill us, too. I think it's very easy to get...
Depressed,
slumped
sure.
and
yeah.
depressed as
it's hard to make political change.
All
yeah.
of this,
mm-hmm.
You have to realize this is a long term thing, and that this is something that is going to happen very gradually, and that we have to take care of ourselves as well.
But that's guerrilla warfare is the same thing. You tire out the other side because they have all the money and the guns and everything, but that mm-hmm. all costs money.
Exactly.
So you just stay elusive and always stay in the field. Always be protesting. Always be fighting against them,
mm-hmm.
and not necessarily standing your ground and getting crushed, but just moving from issue to issue, keeping them confused. Because they move very slowly. Because mm-hmm. you're a smaller group, you can move quicker and come up with new tactics, mm-hmm. new strategies.
Yeah. So I like to think that anything goes. There's no one answer.
You have to see what works,
mm-hmm.
and then when find something that works, keep pushing that one,
yeah. and
try and expand the breach.
Exactly, mm-hmm. exactly.
Mm-hmm. Get more people involved. Well, that's a difficult. This is worse than the homeless issue. I mean, everybody hates homeless in
it's
Santa
all
Cruz.
Connected, though, right?
Yeah, but then the criminals are. I mean, how can you say support the criminals? It's a very tough sell to most people.
Mm-hmm.
You can bring up the tax money, but that's not quite
Well, yeah, I mean, and all, like, I think what people, you know, what do we do with all the rapists and murderers?
Yeah.
It's like, well, the rapists and murderers are still out there, and also, the most of the people who are inside are not rapists and murderers.
Yeah, it's mostly drugs and victimless crimes, yeah. Right?
Victimless crimes, people who have been, experienced so much violence that all they know is to be violent to themselves, and then get pushed into a very violent system. And yes. So I think that making that point that, like, all of these rapists and murderers are a figment of your imagination, right? They're not all of the people who are inside. And no, we don't have an answer of what to do with people who are very, to the Zimmermans and to people who are very harmful. But we do know that, you know, hundreds, like millions of people are inside, mm-hmm. and they don't have to be.
Yeah.
And so we need to focus on the larger issue, and as we focus on that, we will learn how to better our community so that we have less real rapists and murderers, and that we know how to deal with that in a way that's not torture and not punishment.
Mm-hmm. Although they're allowed to punish. They don't have to rehabilitate. They switch to, it's just, they can punish. Yeah. As long as it's not cruel and unusual. So, yeah, it's a difficult sell.
Mm-hmm. It's a difficult sell, but I think if we keep on, if you hit it at all of these angles
mm-hmm.
that are just very basic and human, and you tie it to education, and you tie it to things that even people who are middle class are at risk of, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, that's the thing. Make it real in their,
like, public education. People don't want to send their kids to a California public school anymore. A lot of people have given up. So mm-hmm. tying the growth of prisons to this prison-to-school pipeline, to education, is, I think, a really good place to start. And also making it a part of your everyday, where you just got to kill them with a kindness. You know, you got to kill mm-hmm. the prejudice with your kindness.
And that's good. I mean, doing helps. Good works is one of the best things you can do for your own benefit as
right.
well.
Right.
And that's kind of we've been pushed to being selfish by the conservative media and everything else, all about getting ahead by stepping on everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people who may not be getting ahead, or there might, then they resort to crime. I mean, because you can make a lot of good money. Well, the people at the top in the gangs can make a lot of good money off drugs. I mean, like the, you know, cocaine and heroin.
And you have to ask yourself, why do you think this person, you know, sold drugs or committed this kind mm-hmm. of crime?
Well, and look where they came from.
Were in fear of dying, of surviving. It's a struggle
mm-hmm.
to survive in this day and
right.
age.
And look where they came from in the first place. You know, the CIA bringing it over from overseas so that they could, you know, the places where it's produced can buy weapons from us. It's all part of the same capitalistic scheme
exactly.
of imperialism.
You're right.
And then the crime comes here, and then it gets blamed on the people locally here, but it's a much bigger picture.
Yeah. Yeah. Asking people to zoom out is always helpful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I guess you don't have anything planned.
No, we don't.
How did the march go?
Planned.
I mean, I went to the rally, but I didn't go to the march.
It went really good.
Yeah.
Last Wednesday, the 31st of July, we all fired all day, you know, in the community.
Mm-hmm.
It was
leafleting
the farmers market.
Yeah.
Yeah. We gathered at the
clock. It's an infraction to leaflet there, I hear.
Really? Yeah.
That's what they said at the meeting. I didn't know that.
Yeah, you gotta...
It's sneaky about it or something.
You gotta ask for permission, right?
Oh, did you?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and they let you?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah. You just gotta form these connections.
I see.
They're limitless. So we gathered
at the clock. So where'd you go to get permission there?
The market manager of Santa Cruz Downtown Market Association.
So that's the other thing, knowing all these different places to go, because somebody else has an idea, they just go leaflet, they didn't know that they got to go here, there, and everywhere to get permission.
Totally, and I think just...
What did they say? I mean, because you don't have to pick up the pamphlets and people throw them, because it's not your...
Well, I just asked the market manager if it was okay if we, you know, passed out some educational material on what's happening in the state in regard to the prison situation and solitary confinement. He was like, yeah, sure.
That's good. Because I know Brent Mark, I know he passed out them, but I'm sure he doesn't ask anybody's permission.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, we have to respect one another and give people a heads up if we're going to do something so that we don't form, we form allegiances and we don't create more enemies.
You don't
want to
make
enemies, and also,
that's where Norris kind of gets it wrong. He just says, everywhere you go, he's got enemies.
Learning, like, also just practicing talking to people where, you know, you're expecting them to listen to you, but you also need to listen to them, too. And so I think
that's part of solidarity.
Yeah. And so we put on at Scene Bars, we also have circles and discussions on before we go out leafleting. So we leafleted on Wednesday. There was a training on how do you communicate these issues, and that happened on Monday. And so these are not one-time things. They happen all the time. If you just come to our meetings every Thursday at 6 p.m. at the Circle Church, you know, you'll learn how to do it, just actively practicing it. But we met at the clock tower at 6 p.m. on Wednesday. We rallied. There were a bunch of people. There were a bunch of signs. There was bike-powered music. Mm-hmm. There were testimonials. We read excerpts from prisoners inside solitary confinement that we had been writing to. Then we marched down to the...
So it was a spontaneous march. Did it take the street?
Yes, we took the street.
That's an infraction, but it was spontaneous and unplanned.
It was spontaneous and unplanned. It was consensus-based. We took the streets down two blocks to the county jail, got to the backside of it, had a noise demo.
I think that's another one. You're not supposed to communicate with prisoners.
It was as peaceful as possible.
But I mean, just communicating with them, I think, is an infraction or something.
And yeah.
I saw one of them where the faces were all blurred out, and I heard that's why.
Yeah, there was... they were communicating back to us, and then, we had a noise demo. We screamed, "We love you. We care for you."
They turned their lights on and off. Was it dark? It was dark by that time, right?
It was, the sun was setting, but you could, you know, people were banging on the glass. They were turning their lights on and off.
And that's important for those people inside, because, you know, all day long, nothing but oppression, and then they get some support from outside.
Because
some of them may get no visitors, too.
Exactly. So, I mean, we know that the prison system, you don't have to be a genius to realize it, that it breaks families apart, and it takes people farther away from any hope of what they had before they were inside. So farther away from success and from self-empowerment. And so...
Well, now you've got it on your record. Good luck trying to get a job, you know.
So a simple noise demo, a letter, a postcard.
I like the letter writing to, instead of Jerry Brown calls, but just a whole bunch of letter writing to prison.
You can
just
even
overload
visit,
the sensors,
you know?
Yeah.
Friends Outside is an awesome group that anyone
But you have
can
to be, if they've made it so
for.
Hard now, you've got to give up your ID to them and get on the list, and then a week or two later, because some people are just in jail for a few weeks, so by the time you get the money on the books, they're out, you know?
Exactly. But there's always going to be people inside as long as that institution exists. So, I think it's awesome. You know, go volunteer at Barrios Unidos. Go to the Walnut Women's Center. They have a program on domestic violence inside. Friends Outside. There are so many. There are like letter writing groups. Come to Scene Bars. There's so many avenues in which people can form connections. I say, why reinvent the wheel if that already exists, and we can also form.
Do you have, like, a pamphlet or a zine on how to do all this?
Yeah, we do. We have a zine on our website, scenebodice.wordpress.com. You can read our literature.
Because I think people need more than... I go to so many fucking meetings, and I get so sick of it, but it's the things you do that kind of pull people together and unify them. And a common task rather than trying to make decisions where everyone disagrees. Just, you know, come up with something to do, and we all do it, and we feel better about it afterwards.
Exactly. Sub Rosa also hosts letter writing to queer prisoners, too. And so
when's that? Is that a...
At the Sub Rosa Cafe.
But when? What day?
It kind of happens organically. I know that there was one that happened a week and a half
ago. Is it on the free school calendar or anything?
Yeah, it's usually on the free school. But what we are trying to do is, you know, I think Scene Bars, we're going to try to... We also cook meals every third Sunday of the month.
Yeah.
at the Circle Church, and yeah. So we're also forming connections through there, and we're trying to coordinate more regular letter writing times.
So the meals
so
are
that we can, you know, meet together, write.
Oh,
letters
so you have
together.
A potluck meal while you're writing the letters.
Yeah, and I it's get, just okay. a way for
make it a party. Yeah, make it more enjoyable.
Make it a party. Yeah,
exactly.
Don't make it. We're trying not to make
not
organizing
a chore. Exactly.
It's our,
yeah, exactly.
It's our everyday.
Because
so,
a lot of my friends, that's why they're in it, is for something to do, you know.
Yeah.
That they never achieve anything, and yeah. it never seems to bother them. But it bothers me. Yeah. I'd rather achieve something.
Yeah, put down your remote and hang out with us every Thursday.
And there you go. Well, again, I said, if you could get it on TV, people would watch, you know,
yeah,
video cams
in
jail.
Well,
oh, that's
think,
good,
actually,
too. But
yeah.
I was thinking the prisons, you know, that then you'd have some transparency if they had, if you could get, and I don't see why not. Why mm-hmm. not? Oh, they could communicate or something with the gang. Big deal.
Mm-hmm.
People would watch that on TV, you know, just to see what's going on.
Yeah.
Especially if there was a fight or something, they'd be, you know, and that would really chill the cops, just like cops are, the jailers, who are worse than cops, I imagine, because they have more power
mm-hmm.
and less visibility.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why they do that, you know, gladiator fights and stuff, and when they rape women, I'm sure, in jail, and the searches.
So
I mean, yeah, Butch Baker, the guy that got shot up here, you know, back in February, he had like 9 counts of molestation against him by women.
Yeah.
But he got cop of the year that year. You know?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people who hold power definitely abuse it.
Yeah.
And corrupts
all
it.
All power corrupts.
Them. All power corrupts. So you're making very, very, very good points that are very real.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, I respect everything that you do and all that you do.
Oh, sure. I just, you know, it makes my show easier if I have a guest. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I play music because I can't just sit here and make speeches.
Mm-hmm.
I could respond to something. I get fired up when somebody says something.
Yeah.
I hate
so
to make
we
speeches.
Have Seymour's meetings every Thursday night. We got Huff meetings every Wednesday at 2 p.m. at
Sub Rosa, yeah,
right?
I see those, yeah. He usually show up an hour later by the time he's got through the minutes from the last meeting.
Yeah. And
that's where I first saw you guys. They came by in March.
Yeah. I came by in March. I was out of town for 2 months, traveled the U.S., and now I'm back. So mm-hmm. I should be there this Wednesday. Yeah, I think it's really important to, you know, go to Wilf, go to all these meetings. I think it's once a month over on the east side. There's a church off of...
Who is Wilf? Anyways,
it's Women's International League for Peace and Freedom.
Okay. That's Wilf.
Yeah, Wilf. You can Google that, too. It's an international group, and they have a chapter in Santa Cruz.
And what do they do?
What kind
of actions do they do?
A lot of women's issues. It's a group of older women. They're pretty awesome. They have speaker series. They have literature. They invited, actually, us, Sin Baris, and another group of women out from the Bay to come speak. But, yeah, there's so many groups. There's so many different ways to get involved. And
this is a popular town for progressive, but they never really come together. And
mm-hmm. It's very easy
in large
to get
numbers.
Stuck,
yeah.
You
yeah,
know, in your own group. And
exactly. And then it's the politics of your own. You know, somebody's
yeah.
lording over it or whatever, and they want to just keep it their little thing.
Exactly. And we realize in Sin Baris, like, that's why we say it's very fluid
mm-hmm.
and that it's not so much about a group that does its own thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We try to make larger allegiances and more connections with things that already exist
mm-hmm.
and also push an abolitionist politics that wasn't really in Santa Cruz until we came around.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of our stance. But also we realize that what everyone is already doing is very, very, very important, and that
there's already a lot of time.
It all
yeah,
very like we're trying to make it stronger, and we
yeah.
should be a much more cohesive community.
Exactly,
and that's not, you know, the weight of that is not on all of our shoulders, but that's something that we try to communicate to every group or every family or any individual that we meet when we're.
Well, you've come up with actions that they can kind of all come to, because they will come to them and stuff if,
mm-hmm.
if it's like, if it's fun or it's, mm-hmm. it seems important. If it's a national, like this one's California issue, so they come mm-hmm. out for those things that are like more widely in the news,
yeah.
I've noticed, rather than strictly local
yeah.
issues.
And also creating opportunities where organizers from all different, you know, community groups can come together who work on different things, can come
mm-hmm.
together and talk about these are our struggles, these are our challenges, mm-hmm. and these are our victories, and how do we work together
exactly.
to
how,
overcome
how did you make
hurdles?
Those victories? Help them with other tactics. That's what the city does. They look at what other cities do, and mm-hmm. then they just copy it. So if you find other groups come up with a tactic that works, you can spread it around to different groups, and then we can all be more successful
exactly.
in achieving our own agendas.
Exactly. Yeah. Share the wealth, share the knowledge, share the mm-hmm. love, right?
I would like to see some kind of a, you know, we have these things in the park for mm-hmm. certain, but like a whole activist with all the different
like
activist groups.
Yeah,
maybe
cool.
an activist Olympics.
Planting some seeds here on
I always
radio,
do that stuff.
Right?
Yeah.
Planting some seeds. I think you should look out. People should, at least organizers out there, and everyone in the community should look out for that. I think that's something that we've talked about at Sin Baras a lot, and I think mm-hmm. that's something that is definitely going to happen in the very yeah. near future.
Because you don't have to lose. People do occasionally win, and you can win, too.
Yeah, together.
That's right.
Right.
All right, well, thanks for coming by. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thank you for inviting us.
Yeah, and you know I'm putting the link up, so I sent the link so you guys can
Awesome, cool. Yeah, like us on Facebook, facebook.com/Sin Baras.
All right. This has been Free the Land for August 6th, 2013.
I'm blind.